If you want to, you can turn ahead to Acts chapter 2. We're going to go back to a scripture that I've been kind of hammering off and on for a while now. But there's a few things I want to say leading up to that. And really, I want to go back to this because God has really been dealing with me about where the church has been and where the church is going. And I believe that we will look back someday and see this COVID thing that happened as something that God said, I'm going to make some people aware of some things that they've been missing while they're experiencing something they've never experienced before. And God does that sometimes. Sometimes he uses the things that are going on to try to get our attention. And I'm hearing this from not just, you know, circles that I'm in, but I'm hearing it from circles and Christian circles all over that what has taken place in the last almost 2 years now is going to be used by God to get our attention. And I think it's a good thing. I think our attention needs to be gotten. Now, I woke up in the middle of the night. Do you remember what night it was? Was it Wednesday? No, one of the nights this week, Wednesday morning early or Tuesday morning early, I woke up and I had this thought going through my head, a question. Imagine that God actually sent people to the churches they attend on purpose. Imagine that. Now, a lot of you in the room are looking at me like, well, I'm pretty sure God sent me here on purpose. Yeah, I think probably you are. I think you probably are. But if he did send you on purpose, and we'll get back to that, but if he did, why would he do that? Why would he send you here? If he sends people to churches on purpose, who are they? Oh, I know. Pastors. He sends them on purpose. How many of you know every church thinks that their pastor was sent by God? That is, until he's been there a couple months. And then they start to think it's somebody else sometimes. But you know, we're used to it in the American church. Like, oh yeah, pastors are called to a church. They're called to a church. The way we look at it. But the people, on the other hand, are they called to a church? Now, I've talked about this before, but I'm reemphasizing it because God's getting ready to do some stuff, I believe. The people get to choose the church that they go to. Average people. See, they're not like me. I'm called. I have a special calling to this church. But people, now, I'm not talking about you in particular, maybe. But people can go to the church they like based on what they like. Now, let me just ask, do any of you know people who go to a church because that's the church they like? It's the church that they like. I chose that church because I liked it. I liked that church a lot. I went and I liked that church, so I'm going to go there. And have you, if you know people like that, a lot of times they will go to that church until they don't like it. And then they go find another church, and then they find another church they like, and then they like it for a while until they don't like it. Know what I'm talking about? Okay. If they like the style of music, if they like the church amenities, if they like the softness of the pews, if they like, you know, it can go on and on. If they like the preaching, if they like the programs, then that's the church they want to go to. I like that church. Okay. But what if God sent you? You are here. What if he sent you? What if he literally actually sent you to this church? And I think some of you feel like he did. You're not here by accident. You're actually here on purpose. What if this church was more his choice for you than yours? See, sometimes I think that, and I'm pretty sure that we've covered this enough that most of the people that are still here, they haven't gotten tired of me, they're here on purpose. But again, that's not always the case. So what if God did send you here on purpose? And then my next question is, what did you do to make him so mad? No, just kidding. God is like, I'm punishing you. I'm going to send you to have to listen to Pastor Tim play with his phone in front of the congregation. Just kidding. So if God sent you here, do you think he might want you to receive something that is being given here? That would make sense, wouldn't it? Yeah. If he sent you here, then there's something here for you. Good. Glad we agree on that. And could it be possible that the more you participate with what's going on here, the more God will be able to open up channels to bless your life? Is that possible? Because see, I believe that's true. It goes a little bit back to the message on the brilliance of obedience, because when I'm going where God wants me to go and doing what God wants me to do and agreeing with God about what my life should look like, what happens? My life begins to have its paths made straight. So this is a theme that we're going to keep going after here a little bit, but I believe that the more you are involved, the more God's blessing can flow into your life if this is really where God wants you to be. And I wouldn't want anybody to be here because they like me, but God's not calling them here. I love that you like me. I love that you love me. If you do love me and you're here because you love me, but God's calling you someplace else, where should you be? That would be back to the brilliance of obedience. Besides, you don't get to keep me forever. I'm only going to live to 180. So I'm going to bury you all. No, just kidding. Now, I do realize that not all of you need to be in the nursery. Okay? I got that figured out. The people who need to be in the nursery are those who need help with their diapers, and most of you aren't there yet. Okay, that's good. And maybe not all of us should be in kids' church, although I had this idea. What if we organized missions trips to deepest, darkest children's church where the little heathens run wild? And you could go on a missions trip maybe once every couple of years back there and come back with these harrowing stories of how you barely made it through. Mark is a missionary to Children's Church. He's gone back there many times, and he helps out with the thing in the summer, the kids overnighter, and he's squishy shoe, and they love him, and he is a missionary to our children. But yeah, I don't see Mark being back there every week. I'm glad that he's out here doing some of the stuff that I need him to do out here, and that's good. I know that we have small groups for men and for women, and probably showing up at the women's small group, if you're a guy, might be a little weird. Although, if you want to learn to knit, Betty will help you. And then the guys go over and, you know, they meet at McDonald's. Although, hey guys, attention, men, Arby's is open. I'm so excited. 50-cent drinks. Well, I don't know. They maybe went up after a year and a half being closed. But yeah, you can get a 50-cent drink at Arby's if you're a senior. I remember the first time that happened to me. I walked up and she goes, "Do you want the senior drink?" And I looked at her like, and then I said, "How much?" She goes, 50 cents. I said, "Yes, I'm a senior." So, you know, not everything we do here is for everybody all the time. I do get that. But let's just talk about, for example, this service right now that we're in, the main service each week. Is that something that's important? Well, for most of the adults in the church, I think it is. I think it's a big deal. And most of you know that last week I did something with a message that I've never done before. Who remembers what it was about last week's message that was a little weird? Anybody? Yeah, I did it the week before, and then I did it again. And you remember why I did it twice? Technical difficulties, which we were having at the beginning of this today with trying to let people know where we are. Yes. Yes, those things do happen. So you know, it's something that we have to wrestle with sometimes. But the message, by the way, is called The Brilliance of Obedience. And some of you have already heard it twice. And some of you haven't heard it yet. And so I'll let you know that it is now available on our website as a podcast. You look under resources and click podcast and you can just listen to it. And or it's available on YouTube. And you just fast forward through the first 15-minute thing, which is, you know, the screen pops up and you get and just get on there and find it. It'll be worth your while. Because I really want you to hear that message if you're part of this house. Because I believe it's something important for the body of believers that are here. Does that make sense? Because if we get on the same page, how many think we might do some things together that would be good? I think we could do some amazing things if we all are hearing the same things and being ministered to by them. And I believe that because God called you here, that message was for you. And me, by the way. I never preach anything that's not for me. If you haven't figured it out, I'm never here and you're down here and I'm trying to tell you something you need for your life. Usually, I'm here preaching to me about something I need for my life. And I believe that God wants, like shepherd, like sheep, I believe that God wants all of us to grow, and I'm trying to do my best to continue to grow in God. I've been pastoring for 40 years, and I have not arrived, not even close. Now, I listen to sermons twice sometimes. In fact, we just had a fall leaders advance that I was not able to fly out and go to, but I was able to get it on the video, and I was able to listen to it, and I've already listened to a couple of those messages twice because they were good. And this week I did something that might surprise you, but I listened for the second time to a message by Mark Schnittke from a couple weeks back, the one that I unintentionally just sent out to everybody and then had to erase off my page, and I was doing that at the beginning. Yeah. I was listening to Mark's message this week. I listened twice. I also listened, by the way, this week to Kurt's last message. By the way, Mark, that was an awesome word. That really was. That was a good word. And the first time I heard it, I was at home quarantined with COVID. And so I listened to it, and I thought to myself, I need to hear this again. I need to hear this again. It was a good word. And I got something out of it the first time. But I also had COVID the first time, you know. A little bit of brain fog going on. So I heard it via stream, but then I thought I should hear it again. And you know what? I caught things in that message that I missed the first time. It spoke to me more. That's a good thing, isn't it? Yes, Pastor Tim, you need somebody to preach to you. And Mark did a good job. That's good. Okay. And by the way, Kurt's word on the law was very liberating. It was a liberating word on the law. Normally when somebody says they're going to preach on the law, you're like, oh, okay, here we go. You know, no, it was really a very wonderful, encouraging word. And as I said, I like to listen to some of the stuff like from the leader's advance. Sometimes I'll listen to those more than once. Banning Liebscher got up this leader's advance beginning of November. And I'm still, you know, been listening to some of this. And Banning got up and he preached a message that after he got done preaching, I thought, I know that word. And I remembered that he preached that word somewhere between 10 and 15 years ago at a leader's advance. And it was a really good word of encouragement, especially to pastors. You know, people who do what I do. And it was about being able to figure out whether you're successful or not. Like, what defines success? Been pastoring 40 years. Am I a success or not? You know, because some people who have been pastoring 40 years are now, you know, pastoring a church with, you know, 10,000 people. I'm not. Is that how we figure out success or not? And the stuff he said was really, really good. In fact, I'm going to steal some of it and preach it to you later. So anyway, it was just really cool. But I got to thinking about it, and I remembered, I know this message because I had it on a CD. And I had it on a CD in my car, and not only did I listen to it twice, but because it was on the CD and because I enjoyed it so much and because it encouraged me so much, I would put it in my CD player sometimes when I was going on a little trip, and I make lots of little trips, hospital runs and things like that, and I don't know how many times I've heard that message. I heard it a lot. It's really encouraging. And by the way, if you want to know whether you're successful or not, not only as a pastor, but just as a person, I'll just give you two words. These are the two words that he talked about. Obedience. I just got done preaching on that. And faithfulness. Because the world may look at you and think you weren't a success, but you might be more of a success than you realize because you did what he asked you to do, and you were obedient. And you were faithful, I meant to say. Anyway, when you get a word like that, the concepts stick with you, and you start to really have that stuff get down inside of you. And that's important, because if it can get inside of you, if it can get from here, just, oh, that sounds good, to here, oh, I want to live that, then things change. Now, bringing us back to the messages that we've been hearing here. Imagine with me that God actually put you in this church on purpose, and if God put you here, would it be possible that he wanted you to hear those messages? No, just the ones that showed up that day. I'm not sure I would agree with that. Is it possible that God's trying to look for opportunities to speak into your life and my life, just as he spoke into my life from what Mark said and what Kurt said? Is it possible he's trying to get my attention? He's trying to speak into my life. And is it possible that he might want us to use what we're being taught so that he can do something in us and to us and through us? Yeah. So now, I told you to turn to Acts chapter 2. Let's go. Verse 41. Peter has just got done preaching, and there's a whole bunch of people there. It's the day of Pentecost. Then those who gladly received his words, verse 41, I'm sorry, did I say 41? Okay. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Everybody say apostles' doctrine. And fellowship, everybody say fellowship. And the breaking of bread, say breaking of bread. And in prayers. Good. And then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. So, doctrine, the word. Doctrine, we're doing that right here, if you will. We're getting the word into our lives, right? Fellowship and breaking of bread. Oh, we'll be doing that tonight. Sometimes we do it right after church on Sunday morning. It was important. Prayers. We have a prayer time coming this Wednesday night. And when those things were happening, the last part of the verse that I quoted to you says, and signs and wonders began to happen. So God began to move as the people, what does it say? Continued steadfastly. In some versions it says devoted themselves. Focused. Today we call it focus. Focus, ADD. Come on. Get your mind, get your head in the game. I'm sure some coaches said that yesterday somewhere. 3,000 people got saved that day. 3,000 people began to devote themselves to what was going on, and the church began to experience some amazing things. You know, I think about that, and I think, wonder what that looked like. And if you read on in the book of Acts, you can see that they actually gathered in the temple courts every day. Nobody's asking you to show up every day. But they gathered in the temple courts every day, and there was relationship and teaching and fellowship and all this stuff going on. And day to day, it says they broke bread in each other's houses, and it was a pretty amazing time. Do you think the apostles, by the way, ever repeated themselves? I think probably a lot. They had a lot of people. Not all the people could be there all the time, I'm sure. And I know y'all can't be here all the time. I got that. But the apostles repeated themselves. I wouldn't have to repeat myself as much, although I probably will because that's just who I am and I can't remember what I said 5 minutes ago. But nevertheless, I probably won't repeat myself as much if I know that you're like grabbing podcasts and catching up on stuff and staying connected because, oh, Pastor Tim, you're making me sad. I'm feeling like you want me to do a lot of work. No, it's not work. I was listening to a message this morning while I was taking a shower. Got half of it done. I find time to podcast and listen to stuff because how many think I might need fed? Oh, Lord, please feed him some more. He's so anemic. So, warning, I'm going to repeat stuff, but I feel like this shift is about to happen in the church worldwide and especially in America because I think we've come to a revelation on some things because I think we're starting to realize that how we were doing church, which was nice and comfortable, can be interrupted by things. And the question is, how do we handle it when we get interrupted? And are we going to be even more like God wants us to be as a result of growing out of some things that we went through? Are we going to grow? If you're satisfied with where you are, you're scaring me. Don't do that, because God wants to give you life, and that more abundantly. And that means more abundant. The word abundantly isn't there. It was life and more. That means that God's constantly wanting to give us more. I believe God wants to bless each of us, and he has more for each of us. So again, imagine that God brought you to this church on purpose. How many times have I asked that question today? Imagine that he wants you to do something amazing. What? Yeah. What if he wants you to do something amazing? Oh, we just want to see the pastor do something amazing. No, you don't. I want you to experience what it's like to have God do something amazing through you. God wants you to experience what it's like when God does something amazing through you. I wonder if the apostles ever look down and think to themselves, those guys had it made. They got podcasts. Their people can wonder if any of the saints ever look down and go, wow, look at all the stuff that's available to the Christians today for them to hear the word and saturate themselves in the word and fill themselves in the word and go to the new church library and get some more of the word. I wonder if Paul is ever jealous of what we have at our fingertips as Christians in the time in which we live. So God brought you here, and God wants to speak to you through what's going on here. And I mean all of what's going on here, but I've been emphasizing the word because that's what we're doing right now. But I think he wants to bless you. And I think he wants to bless you so that he can bless the world. Because if you are a blessed person, the world will see it and they'll recognize God. Listen to Psalm 67. I want to read you from Psalm 67. I'm going to read the whole psalm. It's only 7 verses long. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among the nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you, not just the ones in church. Oh, I just added that. That's a Tim Hacker paraphrase. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously. When we hear judge, sometimes we think, bam, you get what's coming to you. No. A righteous judge will not just want to condemn people. He will want to judge who did well. Judgment's not always about condemnation. Sometimes it's about who came in first and who came in second and who came in third and how well you did. And, you know, yeah. Our band used to go to competitions and they would judge us and there would be score sheets and we could see how well we did. And I liked judges when they gave me good scores. Anyway, let me just read verse 4 in its entirety again. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all of the ends of the earth shall fear him. It didn't say God will bring judgment and all of the world will fear him. It said God will bless us and the world will fear him. Is it possible that God would bless his people, as he says throughout this psalm, so that his ways might be known? Verse 2. What if God wants to bless your life so that his ways will be known? Because people will see your life and see the way that you're living as you're living and letting God lead you in everything. And all of a sudden they look at your life and they go, wow. So his ways will be known on the earth if people see his ways manifest in us. Wow. That's a cool idea. Is it possible that God could use his blessing on us so that the ends of the earth would fear him? I believe it is possible. I believe it's possible that the blessing of God on God's people could be so heavy that the world would start to look. What if people saw something in us that's so good that they cried out to know what we have and they don't? In order for this to happen, we might need to be transformed. Just ask yourself this right now. Do people look at your life and go, wow, he's amazing? I'm not sure they do mine. Especially when I'm being grumpy in the car. And I got that look on my face like, what's wrong with you? Told you I fight that fight, but I fight the good fight. I'm going to try not to do that. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Is it possible that God wants to transform us by the renewing of our minds so that a world gone crazy? How many of you think we live in a world gone crazy? Is the world gone crazy? Is it crazier than any time you've ever lived in? I'm not saying it's crazier than any time on the earth, but it is kind of crazy. Yeah. What if he wants to renew my mind so that I actually become the proof of God in the earth? The proof, because I'm transformed, and because I become transformed, I prove what is that perfect and acceptable will of God. What if you and I are supposed to be the proof of God in the earth? How many of you know somebody who's looking for proof and they're not going to believe it until they see the proof? What if you're the only proof that God's ever going to send? People are looking for God's proof of God's existence, and the proof of his existence, the only proof they may ever find, might end up being you and me. So again, last week I was talking about how God wanted us to come into agreement with him, or as we say, obey, not for heaven's sake, but for our sake. For our sake, he wants us to come into agreement with him so that he can start to bless us and he can start to move in our lives in a way that will continue to grow in blessing. He wants to bring us into agreement so that he can achieve in us everything that he created us for. That sounds like a good plan to me. So again, if you haven't heard that message, go catch up on it. But I just want you to know that you're not here today by accident. God brought you here on purpose. God planned this out. God had this in mind. He had you in mind. He had me in mind. He had people who maybe are watching by live stream in mind. God is using this message to renew your mind and my mind and to bring us into a place where we become everything that he wants us to be. Not only do we become everything that he wants us to be, but you become everything you ever wanted to be. See, the desires of your heart that are born in God are things that are so fulfilling that if you could just find yourself being fulfilled by them, you would never want anything else. So I believe in reaching out to people, by the way. I believe in doing the work of an evangelist. I believe in all that. But what if instead of reaching out to people, we were so full of God that they began to reach out to us? It's happened to a few people that I know over the years. They've gotten so full of God that people stop and say, "What is going on in your life? I need some of that." There have been evangelists and great leaders and great, they talk about, can't think of his name right now, but I remember him. He started Oberlin College, by the way. Just can't pull it out of the air. But he was walking down the street one day, and a woman came busting out of a door, and she said, "What do I got to do to be saved?" He was just trying to get down the road. And the next thing you know, revival broke out in the street. Because something was going on in him, and the presence was on him, and the goodness of God was on him, and the blessing of God was on him, and it could be felt. It was provable to people who wouldn't otherwise have known it existed. So I believe that we're entering into a new season, a season where the focus of our church needs to be on taking you to the next level. Would you like to go to the next level? Me too. I think that'd be good. And I believe that we need to increase in our awareness of God and increase in what he's speaking to us and grab a hold of all these things in order to do that. If God's people could be transformed and become the most blessed people on the earth in an obvious way, what do you think would happen to the rest of the world? Think with me. If God's people were so transformed that everybody could tell they were getting their socks blessed off, oh, he's going to come and he's going to persecute you Christians, and that's how they're going to know. Well, maybe you show blessing when things aren't easy. But whatever it is, God wants to bless. And according to Psalm 67, when he blesses like that, the world will come to know that he's God. You might be the one to prove to people who don't believe that God is real. And we could see revival like no revival we've ever seen in history. You know, I believe, I heard a word preached, and I think it makes sense that we were crawling along just busy, busy, busy like a caterpillar, doing really well. Then COVID hit, and we all cocooned up for a while. What if, as we come out of this, we're no longer caterpillars, but now butterflies? What if God wants to take you from the caterpillar level to the butterfly level? That transformed mind thing, the word there is the word from which we get metamorphosis. And a caterpillar to a butterfly is one of those beautiful metamorphoses that happen. And what if you could go to another level? It's just an exciting thought to me. I believe that if we will make an effort to listen to what God is speaking through this church, not just through me, we've got others that share the word. John, you're next. He's on deck. But I believe if we listen, each of us would hear the things we need to hear in order for our lives to go to another level of blessing. And by the way, if you're thinking, oh, I'll drive new cars and have all that, that's not the blessing I'm talking about. How many think that as long as the Apostle Paul was serving God and through the time, through the decades that he served the Lord, how many of you think he kept reaching for another level of glory and experiencing it, even though sometimes they didn't like him? Sometimes he had to be snuck out of cities or even got stoned and beaten and things happened. But his blessing level kept going up no matter what was going on around him. What if that could be your experience? And I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes it doesn't look like that's happening to the majority of Christians in our world. But I'd like to make that happen here at Bethel. I would like that to be your experience. I would like you to come in here, soak a little bit in the Word, get some prayer, get some blessing, worship the Lord, get out of here and feel like, okay, I'm going to take something that I got out of that and I'm going to get it inside of me and it's going to be part of my life. And I do believe it's happened to most of us in this room already. It's been the testimony of some of the people. And I want to make this clear too. This isn't about supporting what we do as a church. This is about our church being able to support what God wants you to do. That's what I want. What we do, we're going to do all sorts of things. You know, today was ugly sweater. Although this is kind of cute, isn't it? Of course, I kind of make it cute, so that's part of it. Ba-da-bum. Yeah, technical difficulties right there. I do, though, believe that if we all get on the same page, that God will not only transform you as individuals, but he will transform our church. So our corporate connection to each other will be better. And that's a good thing. But I will also say this. Bethel Defiance will never be bigger than the people that are in it. And I don't mean numerically. I mean actual ministry. We'll never have a bigger ministry than the ministry of the people who are in it. Your ministry is important. So I want you to be the one who is intentional about your transformation. And I want you to get ready, because I believe that God is working on some things and is going to continue to work as we go into the next year on doing things that are going to transform your life so that you become everything that he created you to be. And that's my heart's desire. I want to become everything he wanted me. He had a plan, and I want to get everything out of that I can. Amen? Amen. So, put your hands on your head a little bit right here. Just do this. Holy Spirit, those watching by video streaming or catching this later, or all of us in the room, we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And I believe, Lord, you're taking us to a new level that not just us, but really you want to take your church worldwide to a new level. So work in us, I pray. Transform us and make us into what you want us to be. And we give you thanks for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.